Welcome to MrGrover.com.
Welcome to the 28th episode of the Cracker Pass Podcast. This is David from MrCracker.com, and it is July 22nd of 2011. So, it's been a pretty long break since my last episode. Some of you may have thought that I quit on you guys, but here I am, back at it, excited as ever. Oh my god, it's so boring. And yeah, so why have I, not released an episode in so long? Well, I've been pretty busy with some other projects, including the HackerInstitute.com. It's basically just a membership website where I release new courses every single month. As long as you stay a member, you get them all. And, it's things like videos, audios, PDFs, along with labs, so that after you learn a certain hacker technique, you can practice it. So if you're interested, just head over to the HackerInstitute.com and just check it out. Let's see, what else was there? Yeah, pretty much that was it. That was the biggest one, besides chilling. Yeah, that takes a long time. Just gotta do it, Just gotta chill. Sometimes you just don't want to, you gotta fight through it, you gotta go chill. So I'm back to it. Usually this is the part where I tell you about the weekly news. Well, I actually hadn't gone and gotten the news for this week. And if I, waited to get that, I probably wouldn't be recording this podcast for another month. So I was like, I'm just gonna sit down and I'm gonna record another podcast of the Cracker Cast podcast. But I'm not gonna leave you hanging. I am gonna summarize all the news for this week for you right now. So it went something like this. Somebody got hacked and someone got angry and upset over it. And then, let's see here. Oh yeah, someone else got hacked and lost a lot of money. And, another one. I missed one, this one. Someone got hacked. That one's pretty unbelievable, but it actually happened. And then, two more people got hacked. So that's the week. That's this week's Hacker News. If you want to receive all the Hacker News for every week, go ahead to MrCracker.com and look on the right-hand side. There is an opt-in box for your name and email. Just fill that out, click submit, and every week you'll receive an email with a summary of all the hacker security news, the best hacker security news of that week. All right, so let's get into the main topic.
Main topic.
Hey, so the main topic today is about SQL injection, and for those of you who don't know, SQL injection is a web hacking technique, and actually I believe it's still considered to be the most popular form of web hacking today. Now, in recent news, the group called Low Security has been using SQL injection as one of their main attacks against some pretty high profile websites like the FBI, Fox, Sony PBS, we got Prawn, for those of you into porn. But they've been dumping databases left and right full of usernames, passwords, emails, and they've been using SQL injection to do that. So even though it's been around for so long, it's still somehow the top attack today. And it's actually very easy to defend against it, just filter input that users put into a website, and escape characters. But, nobody does it, so it still works. So my goal with this quick main topic is to introduce you to SQL injection, kind of leave you in a position to be able to pick it up and learn if you wanted to. But before you get into SQL injection, you have to know what a database is, how it works, how it's all set up. And to do that, first you have to choose a certain database software that you want to target with an SQL injection attack. So the most popular databases today are probably Oracle, MySQL, Microsoft SQL, and Postgres SQL. So they're all very similar. They all use the SQL. They all use the SQL language, but the syntax is a bit different for each one of them, and their functionality is a bit different, but the fundamentals of SQL injection are pretty much the same across all these databases. So if you know, let's say the top three databases, say MySQL, MSSQL, and Oracle, you can pretty much pick up any other database with a little bit of research and be able to do SQL injection for those as well. So before I get into any further, first, what is SQL injection? Well, as most sites today are dynamic. And by dynamic, I mean that you, as a user of that website, interact with it. Content shown, displayed to you might be different than content displayed to someone else because it's dynamic. It's different for everyone because your preferences are different. You know, let's say a blog is also a dynamic website because you interact with the website, you can submit comments, you can submit a blog post. So there's information coming from both ends. You, as the user, and the server with the, you know, the pre-programmed code on that server. But what happens is, since these sites are dynamic and you're interacting with it, you supply a lot of information. Now, let's say there's a website and that website has a login form. Now, what happens when you type in your username and password, it'll take your input and it'll add it to a SQL statement. An SQL, structured query language, is the language that a database is run on. That's how you interact with a database. You use SQL. That's your way of accessing information in a database. That's your way of updating that information, displaying it, deleting it. So what happens is, in the background, the programmer, you know, he wrote a script that takes, let's say, a PHP script, and it takes your information that you submitted, and it then runs a SQL statement, SQL query. And when that script accepts your input, your username and password, it'll include that input into the SQL statement. Now, if the programmer that wrote the script that accepts your username and password didn't properly provide a way to filter your input, then you might be able to, you know, type in some SQL statements instead of a username or password and have it run as if the programmer meant it to be run. So what happens is, if the programmer doesn't properly sanitize and, you know, filter your input, you might be able to inject some code and have it run in that SQL statement that is used to access the database and information and so on. So that's how SQL vulnerabilities come up, when the programmer doesn't properly sanitize, doesn't properly filter your input. So when you're able to, you know, inject that code and have it executed as if it's supposed to be, you know, by the programmer that wrote that script, and then you have SQL injection. And you can do a lot with SQL injection. You can, you know, update information, you know, delete stuff, access stuff from the database, and pull it out and display it to yourself. And things that are stored in a database, you know, could be literally anything. Let's say for a blog website, you might have your users stored in the database. So the user's username, password, email, you know, let's say you have posts stored in that database. So you have things like the post title, post body, keywords, the author name. It's all in that database. And if you can extract, let's say, user accounts from there, then you can log in as the administrator. But, you know, it's not limited to just what's in the database. You can literally, sometimes, depending on the situation and how everything's set up, you can take over the whole server that's running that database server just from SQL injection in combination with some other stuff. But initially from SQL injection. So it's a very popular and very, very powerful hacking technique. So if you wanted to learn, let's say, SQL injection, first you choose a database software. And then you gotta learn how that database is set up. What does a database look like? And the best way to do that is to go ahead and download that database software and play around with it. Create a database. You know, add information into that database. Delete that database. You know, update information in that database. Add users to that database. You know, with different privileges. Just learn how, inside and out, how that database works. And once you have that picture, and once you can, you know, type up SQL statements and submit and have them, you know, work without a problem, then you can move on to the actual injecting. And then, to find a web application that's vulnerable to SQL injection, you want to find a place where there's input coming in. And the most popular place to find SQL injections is the URL. Many times you'll have a page that says something like site.com/page.php?id=. And what's happening here, when it's like id=6, what happens is the script that the application, web application, will query the database and find some information, the information with the ID, that number that was supplied. So let's say id=6. So it'll go to the id=6 and get the information from that row in the database and submit it back to you. So sometimes when you submit that ID to the database, it isn't properly filtered, so you can try to see if it's vulnerable to SQL injection. And you can do that by supplying some sort of character that's significant in the SQL language, that has some sort of meaning in the SQL language, which will kind of mess up the whole SQL statement. So usually it's just a simple quotation mark, a simple tick. When you submit that, it'll break the SQL statement because now there's a syntax error, and it'll submit back to you an error. MySQL syntax error at line 7 near, then it'll display some part from the statement that you screwed up. And if that comes up, you know that it's probably vulnerable to SQL injection. Now, there's two types of forms of SQL injection. There's the standard SQL injection, and then there's blind SQL injection. The standard is what I just described. You know, you break it, it spits back an error, and that error has some useful information for you. You know, it tells you like what line the error was on, you know, near what part of that statement. It might even spit back to you some part of the statement that's actually in the code, and, you know, give up some column names or something that's part of the table, which is all useful information. But there's also blind SQL injection, and that means let's say you break an SQL statement by submitting some something random like a tick that breaks a statement, and instead of giving you an error with some useful information, it gives you like a generic error that it does for everything else, and it doesn't provide any useful information. But you do know that there was an error, so there's a chance that there might be an SQL injection vulnerability on this script. And then, if nothing went wrong, it doesn't give you any error. So it's kind of a yes-no situation here. If it's good, it'll spit back no error, then you know, okay, good, everything went well. If you broke something, or something didn't go right, then it'll spit back you a generic, you know, error, maybe even a HTTP 500 error. And you have to kind of guess and test and do, it basically takes a lot longer and you know, a lot more time-consuming and difficult to do SQL injection with blind SQL injection rather than the standard. But yeah, so learn the database, how it works, how it's set up, create some databases, play around with it, and then get into the actual injecting. Now, I'm not going to, you know, do a huge tutorial on SQL injection because it's something you have to actually really read about and just look at and see visually to really understand and play around with. But there's many tutorials online, but you know that first, you should always learn the actual technology before you get into breaking it, because then you really won't understand what's going on if you don't understand the technology that you're trying to break. So always do that first. And there's a lot of cool tools that you can use once you really understand how to do it manually. Things like SQL Map, SQL Ninja. There's a bunch in the Backtrack Linux distribution, which I talked about in previous episodes. But just know that the SQL injection technique is not very difficult to learn. It's actually pretty simple. It's very, very prevalent today. You'll find it in many sites. What I do recommend also doing is going to a website like, say, a vulnerability, you know, exploit database website like exploit-db.com and searching for SQL injection vulnerabilities in web apps and then just reading these vulnerabilities and examining these URLs that the vulnerable URLs that the attackers came up with and just read them and just learn from them. See how, figure out how they came across finding this vulnerability. How did they extract the username and password from this database? You know, figure that stuff out by just reading other people's work. And yeah, so I definitely recommend learning SQL injection. It's a really, really fun attack type and very easy to learn. So yeah, go ahead and do that. And that's it for the main topic. This week's hacker website is iexploit.org, and I believe the owner, Zynapse, emailed me about it, and I checked it out and I like it, so I'm telling you about it too, so go ahead and check it out. They have good hacking challenges, they have some great code bank, some cool papers to learn from, they have a decently active community as well, and I'm looking at it right now, they also have a good list of videos. So do check them out, another great resource to learn from, because it's never enough. And enjoy it. If you have any suggestions for other security and hacking related websites, feel free. Actually, don't feel free. Damn it, email me, because I'm running out of ideas of good websites to mention. So, you know, give me everything you got. I'll take it. Otherwise, that's it for this week's hacker website. And that is it for episode 28 of the Beat Hacker Cast podcast. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, feel free to email me comments@mrcracker.com. My voice just cracked. I swear I'm past puberty. Anyways, if you want to take the next step and learn how to become a great ethical hacker, come visit me at hackerinstitute.com and enroll today. Otherwise, that's it. I'll see you next week, hopefully. In the meantime, happy hacking.